Welcome to the Need for Speed Running Lounge. That's right, your favorite place to sip Manhattans and, just kind of hang out, listen to some smooth jazz. Not some smooth jazz, some jazz that is very smooth. And talk about speed runs. I am your bartender, Luigi. And
Why do you sound sultry? Like this is taking a turn from
just it went from a podcast from about speedruns and friendship to about sultry vibes and friendship.
We were all kind of, I'm tired. And
it went
so,
from chill though to like sexy. Like
hi.
I'm your bartender.
Like, I don't know, something about that. Just really.
Just tell Luigi all about your thoughts and failings.
I don't know. I was awkward. I guess awkward is sexy. But anyway, so are speed runs. Speed runs are also quite sexy. And hi Hobbs. Hi Ruby.
Hi.
Hello. Are we going to talk about how sexy speedruns are?
That's what I was told. That's what my Google alert said was like right now. You talk about this.
You know what? I have that on my Google Calendar too. That okay. Yes, yeah. It is half past talking about how sexy speedruns are.
That's how I have it in my calendar as well.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So today, how are you guys?
Great question. I am happy to be in the presence of friends. I am
nothing better
right now. Fine, but if I stand, I will be in horrible agony. It's a good thing this is a sitting podcast. So, yay!
Oh no!
Gotta love when speedrunners speed on their way to the bathroom in the middle of the night and break their toe.
Oh
no!
Yeah.
So, did you reset?
They might have had to reset the toe. I don't know.
Oh, you didn't save beforehand, did you?
Save beforehand, and people told me I could get a reset if I went to the doctor, but they also wanted for the reset like $5,000. And no, thank you. I can just buddy tape it. Like, okay. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
That is a bit excessive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember your safety saves, kids.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Hobbs? How are you doing?
How's your toe?
My toe is doing great. Amazing. There's no problems with it whatsoever. I'm doing good. I've been very busy with a lot of work stuff, but I got to catch some of the most recent event from GDQ and the lovely Frame Fatales team. So why don't we talk about Frost Fatales a little bit here on this special pit stop. If you haven't picked it up yet, audience, I think we're going to have a nice chill vibe today.
Frosty. Frosty chill vibe.
We're going to be laid back. We're going to be hanging out. We've got...
This is a get cozy with the cocoa kind of podcast today.
Well, listen, we have two streamers who seem very excited to be here and very tired. And then we have me. Who is not only tired, but also the joke that became a thing at Fatales, which is a taped together pile of broken bones. So that's what we got going for us. But Fatales, we were working with a new charity. So this was our first time ever working with the National Women's Law Center. So if you weren't familiar, basically they do a ton of work going to states and specifically advocating in legislature for rights for women, LGBTQ plus rights, and things like that. So we ended up raising over $150,000. So like the most we've ever raised at a Fatales event.
Yeah. New PB.
So that was great. And I always love hanging out with the Fatales on site. But I will say that... you remember Hobbs back at SGDQ 23 when we were like, this is both one of the best pre-shows we've ever put on. And oh my God, it was so much work.
Yeah.
This was more work than that pre-show.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So did you all get to catch any of this whatsoever?
I didn't get to catch the pre-show itself because unfortunately I had to work that specific day. I had to like work away from my computer. But I did get to catch like a couple of the segments here or there because your pre-show kind of like led into the whole week.
Yeah, our pre-show was not just a pre-show.
See, I saw someone put a picture of you in the chat and it was like, oh, I made a joke about like, oh, you're like a literal femme fatale. and then
that was the whole point.
And then I watched it. And so, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was exactly what we were going for. So you did hit the nail on the head with that.
Also, yeah. Ruby, do you want to give for those who are listening? We didn't say it at all at the top. So for anybody who doesn't know what Frost Fatales is, like listening who didn't catch any of it.
We haven't intro'd like anything properly. Hi, no. I'm Ruby. First all,
that's me. I'm the host. That's why.
There we go. Hello, everyone. So Frost Fatales is a event that is run in collaboration with Games Done Quick, and basically it is an event that puts on a week of speedruns, but rather than being 24 hours, we are sane and get sleep. And, so we always try and raise money for charities like NWLC or the Malala Fund, and all of the runs are specifically from people who in some way that is significant to them identify as a woman. That can be identifying as cis, it can be identifying as non-binary and femme, it can be being gender fluid like me. There are a million different ways to identify, but as long as being a woman in some way is meaningful to you, then you are welcome to join that community. So we had anything from really amazing Hades races of a beautiful lesbian couple, and if that's not true love, I don't know what is. I'm sorry, 2P1C and racing your partner constantly in Hades? Like, how could you beat that? And we had, like, Carol Lindy, one of the runs that I got to actually catch all of because, you know, we're working. So unfortunately, a bunch of us staffers don't get to catch everything. But Claire Lindy did a Link's Awakening DX run that had my sights splitting with laughter the entire time. At one point, there was a flashing light glitch, and she instead used that to pretend she was hypnotizing the audience and then continued that bit throughout the entirety of the run. And it was hilarious.
Okay.
So
I tried to find that one in the playlist, and because I wanted to check that out, but
definitely check it out. Some of the videos uploaded really fast. Others, I think they usually take their time with, just depending on if they're like things need to be moved or adjusted or anything.
Yeah, I see it linked on the schedule page, so that's good.
Okay,
great. Cool. Yeah. So I know we're probably going to talk about a lot of these, but when it comes to the week for Fatales, we usually come up with a theme for the entire event beforehand, and then we'll make a pre-show based on that. And it also, like, the theme will be based around the games that got in, so we're trying to build a theme based on what we are presenting. And I remember so distinctly there were meetings where people were like, what about this simple idea or this simple idea? And then we went with a murder mystery. And do you know how easy a murder mystery is? It's not. But it was a really good time. Basically, this time, instead of doing the like 20, 30 minute pre-show, we did a 10 minute pre-show and then had 3 to 6 minute installation episodes continuing the mystery that kicked off every day before we started the first like chomp and before we started the first speed run and all that kind of stuff. So, and I will say the entire time it was freaking great because all of the formal wear I brought, every single piece, all of the Varys outfits, fun fact, that character not made by me. I wasn't there for that meeting because I was celebrating in bulk with friends and family and couldn't make it. And I told them, you know me, I'm just happy to be there. You put me in a spot and I'll fill it. And they, I had already been there for the meeting where we voted for stuff. And when I got back, they went, so we want you to be the Varys who murders Court so you can take over the Fatale's throne. Can you bring a bunch of your formal wear? Absolutely, I can.
Yes.
So that Thank was you. How the, it wasn't me. That was all the team knowing that I had a bunch of formal wear.
Very nice.
That's well, the I only the concept, reason.
I thought the concept was very cool, for sure. And like, getting to kind of split it across multiple days was neat. But you're saying that production-wise, it was a major challenge as a result?
It definitely was, because I think that one thing people don't realize is murder mysteries are relatively common. But the reason why you don't hear about a lot of them, or you only hear about the greats, is because it is hard, even when being silly, to put together a good murder mystery that, like, mm-hmm. actually has the hints that are sprinkled all throughout in a way that makes sense to the audience, but still leaves an air of mystery that leads you to mm-hmm. believe it could be multiple suspects. Like,
yeah,
you do have to make sure to do a lot of tracking, script-wise, to make sure that everything makes sense.
Yeah.
So it was definitely the most challenging thing that I've ever taken on with GameStone Quick. And it took multiple days to shoot on top of that.
Yeah, I imagine.
But I think part of that was just like the nature of the script wasn't quite locked in. So there was like people trying to memorize things that had just changed. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
I can imagine that'd be pretty tricky. I mean, we've had that issue before, too, with the, even just with the mainline pre-shows and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I cough occasionally. I'll be doing my best
you better
to
be.
Avoid it.
How dare you?
I'm mostly sorry for editing, Luigi.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll just send all the coughs to you.
Just one compilation.
Here's all your coughs, OBS. That should be my new operating procedure. Anyway,
actually Frost sounds Fatale's, incredible, and you should do it.
some of the wonderful characters, like the disappearing prize person, and a doctor of speed running. And then Fu.
Uh-huh. Fu just being a detective. Just detective Fu,
PI.
It was, I think, Captain Inspector Detective Fu : PI was the full title, if I remember correctly. And you had to say the colon out loud. It's not silent.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. No, if you go back specifically, every time we took a take, Fu would say it out loud, and that was part of the bit. So,
well, no good colon should go unspoken.
I wholeheartedly agree. See, mm-hmm. I've been saying that for years.
Right, you gotta earn it. But yeah, I enjoy the doctor of speedrunning. Now, how does one get a doctorate in speedrunning?
Go to a college for it to get your PhD. Okay. These are very simple questions, Luigi. Duh.
Oh, okay,
come All on. Right.
Next question.
All right. I'm going to go enroll today.
Amazing.
This is like a full sale thing. This is a for-profit university.
Oh, I'm trying to think of
They're all for
if
profit.
There are any other fun things in the pre-show. The only one I can think of is the names that we chose. So Ruby Heron was chosen for me to be like the red herring because mm-hmm. in the
yeah,
middle
I,
of
I
the
like
week.
That.
Yeah. And then Tara Quick. Was because at first, because Swiftaloo was playing the doctor, I was like, how funny would it be if we just had a character named Taylor Swift? Just Taylor Swift. I don't know. And basically the team was like, I love it, but we should make it something ever so slightly different. So instead it became Tara mm-hmm. Quick.
Nice.
So but outside of that, Pricekeeper was just Pricekeeper and Fu was just Fu.
I mean, it still goes with the fast, gotta go fast theme.
Yep.
May was hilarious.
Were there any runs that y'all caught and really enjoyed?
I watched Luigi's Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's weird because it's a PAL run. So like. usually, you know, it's what like the way the frames work and all that is different, and it's like faster but not really, or slower but not really, or something like that. So that's why like it doesn't get played a lot, except for this one, because this one came out like 6 months later apparently, in Europe, and so they had time to like tinker with it. So the new mansion, the new game plus, is mirrored. It's flipped, and there's a bunch of like changes. It's kind of ridiculous. It's really weird seeing that game played backwards. It was disorienting. Yeah.
Well, also you're used to, you know, something that's more apartment size, not the full mansion, right?
There is a lot. I mean, multiple floors. Goodness.
Yeah. Who needs that much space?
Right. Exactly. Like he, you know, I don't.
I got to catch a couple things, not as much as I would have liked, because like I said, I was unfortunately very busy with work. I didn't even get to catch you, Ruby, while you were in town. Like that, like we didn't even get to hang out because you were so busy.
But also, I broke my toe. Like when I say I broke my toe early in the week, like the day after we finished shooting was the day I broke my toe.
Oh.
And then that first day, I didn't know it was broken, really. I did my segments in the morning. I raced up to my partner who broke their toe in a similar way last year so that they could teach me how to buddy tape it and everything. Went back, worked my like Thursday while on the couch stagnant the entire time. And then I went home because I had no more segments after that. So I could watch some things and then just heal. So
just lie in agony and not have anybody question your screams.
I would have loved to hang out with you, but like at a certain point we tried recording a Pry segment and I was in so much pain I just started crying. I don't think I would have been fun to hang out with when I was in town Hobbs.
Yeah, no, that's understandable.
It was
good.
Bad. Yeah.
So but maybe sad. The liquor could have helped the pain. It could have
like the brought you drinks. Run last time.
Oh, but yeah, no, I got to catch some of it. I thought Dicey Dungeons, because I'd seen a little bit of that game before, but I had otherwise not really seen the game too much. I thought that was an interesting way to present a roguelite for a speedrunning context, because that Dicey Dungeons, as the name might imply, is a game about rolling a lot of dice, kind of.
You're literally rolling dice to activate cards as a roguelike game.
Yeah. You're like given a set. It's almost like Yahtzee in a way, where like you're given a set of dice and then you kind of attribute each die to a specific thing. And as you might imagine in a game that's centered around rolling dice over and over, it can sometimes just screw you over. RNG is a major factor. but it was neat. Instead of it just being like a one attempt at a run kind of thing, it was like a 50-minute showcase. So they showed like, you know, they got to try a few attempts at the run, and then also showcased like different updates that the game had. So like a Halloween themed run. I think there was a like winter theme run or something. I don't remember the exact themes, but and I hadn't seen much of the game, and I just thought it was pretty neat. I thought the runner did a really good job as well. And I also, what was the other? I had another one.
Well, I was going to say that game. So one thing to note, because I did get to catch that run as well. Just amazing game. People should play it. But also one of the commentators on the couch is Marlo Doby, who is the artist for the game. Like,
yeah, that was cool,
like,
too.
Like one of the three main team members who worked on it or something. So, yeah, she's wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah, that was super neat. I got to catch the Celeste run by Carrarium. Carrie Carrarium.
Yes.
That was super fun because it's for anybody, you know, a lot of people have seen Celeste before, but this was Denny percent or DNY percent because it's a custom map pack of the D sides, Monica's D sides, which is an older map for the game. Like it was one of the first kind of major custom mod packs for Celeste, but it's been updated time ever since Monica like first released it. So it's real hard. it's the D sides, like that is absurdly hard. So it was super cool. Carrie is fantastic at the game and just absolutely a hilarious person to begin with. Also got to see Dark Souls by Ashwin.
Yes, Ash is great.
Yeah, Ash's Dark Souls run was awesome, especially like clutching out the wrong warp in just a couple of tries, which like I've literally been on the couch while someone took like 2 minutes to do that before, if not longer. Mm-hmm. And she just got it in like a couple tries. I was like, oh, hell yeah, that's awesome.
That's so freaking cool.
I got to like see a couple other things, but go ahead, Ruby.
Oh, I was going to say, just as far as like other ones that I want to shout out, because again, I didn't get to catch a lot of full runs, but I got to catch a lot of bits of runs and find out what some of the best parts were. People need to go back and watch Asuka's Leaf Blower. Man, this game blows, because that game was so freaking funny and ridiculous. You are playing a man who blows leaf blowers, and also the game has in-game commercials and advertisements that are all parody and ridiculous. So the category that Asuka ran was New Game Plus with ads, so that everyone got to see them.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with a name like that, you know, I'm sure it's very straightforward and straight-laced and not wacky at all.
No, not at all. Also, Waluigi's Taco Stand, you know, that definitely means that game. So I didn't get to catch any of it, but I got to hear my partner who was watching it cackling at the top of her lungs watching that run and the incentives afterwards. So it's on my list to go back and check out, because it definitely topped the charts from kind of the buzz I was hearing from folks.
Not only did both Geneticist and Charbunny fully cosplay as Waluigi, and it was incredible, but they had people vote for what toppings to put on tacos, and one of the things that got voted for is hot sauce, which Char is so bad with. So a lot of it was Jen eating the taco and Char going, and like trying to build up to it and having a really hard time. And you could see her like battling, like, it's for charity, it's for charity, I can do this, all the while being mortified that she has to eat something spicy. It's great.
That's funny.
But so what is Waluigi, as someone who does not care about anything that purple thing does, what is Waluigi's Taco Hut?
As far as I can tell, it appears to be Super Mario 64 ROM hack. So I know nothing else about it besides that, because I'm kind of like, I haven't watched the run yet, and I'm just saving it all for when I watch it. Folks who, if you want to figure out what it is, it's 11 minutes long,
the run.
So you can absolutely jump in and just give it a try, and it won't take up much of your time.
I have looked it up, and your guess was right. So it is a ROM hack of SM64 that's standalone, unlicensed, and literally Waluigi is working a taco stand to pay his debts.
Okay.
You know what? That feels about right. Waluigi would be a man with a lot of debts.
Yeah.
You don't know what that man's seen.
I got to see some bits of others. Like you, Ruby, I saw like kind of bits of a lot of different things, but unfortunately didn't get to catch the full runs for a ton. Smushy Come Home from Air Angel. I love Air. Air's great.
And also, so that was fun. It's so cute. It's so charming.
That was definitely a fun one. I heard tons of good things about the Pokemon. Oh God, it's not Mystery Dungeon. What was Battle Revolution? The Pokemon Battle Revolution run from Corviknight. I got to see a few clips of that, and there was some certain naming incentives that kind of threw the entire marathon off track for the rest of the week, which is always fun. I got to see a little bit of that Hades race that you alluded to earlier. Not only the race, but there was a 2P1C run at the end, so that was cool. And I like that
that's
all Arcalena weapons.
And Trash Lapras, of course.
Yeah. I think they are the same ones who ran it at last AGDQ as well, and did like a really, really good job. But they got to do an all weapons race, which I like, because I think a lot of times we see three weapons from, you know, in these marathon showcases, because it's a little bit shorter, and getting to see all weapons is just neat, because having to be so like well versed, you know, like having to be able to battle with any of the combinations and still get moving quickly is really great. I missed all of it, but I will be watching the Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep run, the Ben Crit level one run from court later on. So I'm glad that that the final episode boss got unlocked for that, and also just that Cork got to do a BBS run. Ven crit level one is like my favorite of the BBS runs as well, and is I just think like a very fun speed run. So I'm excited to watch that one for sure. Yeah, were there any others, Ruby, that you got to see bits of? And
So one thing that was really great, and I think one of my favorite things about being on interview team, is you get to hear about a lot of games you never knew about. Greatest title I've ever heard for a game: Scoot Kaboom and the Tomb of Doom.
Yes.
It's a 2D game. It was run by Ms. Truffles. And basically, she ended up coming in way underestimate because it's a 2D puzzle platformer, like really intense puzzle platformer. And unlike a lot of other 2D games where, okay, you're in the pipe area and now you move on to this next one, you can see a bunch of the other worlds all kind of around, and part of the puzzle solving is trying to figure out how to get to all the different sections based on what you have seen and you mapping it out in your head.
Okay.
It's really, really interesting. So part of it is like getting through just play the that. Platformer, and part of it is just understanding how the maze functions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I like just pulled up some footage of it and I'm looking at it. It looks very cool.
Yeah, it very much reminds me of like watching Char run Love 3, of one of those platformers that you've never heard of, and then you see someone play it and go, holy crap, this is insane to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did an episode with Love 3 in it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And Bullshit Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Ah, yes, Bullshit Legend of Zelda.
Stardew Valley.
So what's going on with Stardew Valley?
Yeah, I think there were like two Stardew Valley runs. There mm-hmm. was the seeded multiplayer boiler room, which is a co-op run, I believe, as far as I could tell. I assume multiplayer means that. And from what I saw of it, I did get to see like a little bit fight. Of it. But I'm pretty sure they got a new PB and or world record during that run too. Smashing their estimate, which is super cool. And then there was an incentive run. That was Lichaton and Blinksy, by the way. And then Blackheart Wings or Gabby did a Vault Percent run afterwards, Vault Percent NDE, which is also great. I've seen Blackheart Wings and the Valiant Sun do a lot of Stardew Valley in the past from previous events. And I just always think that they're really fun runs mm-hmm. to check out. I had to like stream up that whole final day. I was actually getting to just kind of like bounce in and out here and there. So I did get to see some of the Paper Mario run as well. That one seemed really, really sick. Especially there was a glitch exhibition at the end of the Paper Mario run, which was very cool because
this is the 64.
Yeah. Then 64 Paper Mario. Okay. You can do some shit to it. So JCOG like, especially found a bunch of ways to like crash the game and stuff in very fun ways. So it was really cool. Mm-hmm. I would definitely check out some of that mm-hmm. one as well.
Yeah, because there's a lot of like really good indie games and things I'd never heard of here. But then I'm also just going to go straight and watch Mario Sunshine by Jekka Talks, because I'm a sucker for Mario Sunshine speedruns. I think they're the best 3D Mario speedruns to watch.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Luigi. I hate to have to kick somebody off the podcast and you've known him for so long, but
the best ones to watch.
Just Hobbs shakes hands with Luigi. You know, we had a good run.
Yeah,
you
know? it was a good run, pal. last check's in the mail.
Oh no. Speaking of and going back to like indie games that we haven't heard of, this is what I have heard of, but I'm going to sing its praises. Another run that got another game that got run is Abzu by Giant Squid, which is absolutely gorgeous. I love the games by Giant Squid and by that game company just because they are works of art in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. And the person who ran it, Soul Mass, has been in my community, like, since I first started streaming and, like, started running Shadow after me and, like, now has been doing a ton of runs and this is their first time in a GDQ thing or a Fatals and I'm just so freaking proud of them.
That's great.
I know I'm shouting it out partially because I'm like, so best, yay! But, like, there were legitimately tricks that they did in this run that only the top runners attempt. And I know a lot of times for the sake of safety, people will go for the much simpler things, but the minefield that is completely RNG, if you move even slightly in the wrong direction, you will die, went straight through the minefield when usually you swim under it for the sake of like safety. So
yeah,
that was a good run.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very cool. I did also forget that I got to catch some of the Any% Glitchless race of Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster with Sanjin and Leggy Starscream.
Oh, how was that? I didn't get to see the whole thing.
It seemed very good. The ending in particular was wild because they were talking so much about how, like, due to the RNG of the game and everything, they might be on the final boss for a long time. You just kind of got to bash your head against it. It might take a while. And I'm pretty sure they both just, like, blew right through it first try. there were some other fights like right before that you know led to some issues, but it was very cool. And I'm a big fan of Sanjin. I think they're great, so I think that was good. I didn't get to see the Pseudo Regalia run. I am interested by that as well. 100% Out of Bounds. I think that's one of the big things I'm interested by because after seeing Jaxler's run from AGDQ, because we watched one of our Discord watch parties. If you want to, you know, be a patron, join the Discord, then you can join us once a month as we do watch parties.
Hey, really quick, if people want to join that Patreon and become patrons, how do they do that?
Well, it'd be patreon.com/possiblybad.
Amazing. So when you were watching this in our Discord, where you can go to patreon.com/possiblybad, you were watching Pseudo Regalia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We watched the Pseudo Regalia run from AGDQ, and I think that was just Any%, or maybe it might not have been Any%, it might have been like some other category, but it wasn't 100%, and so like I'm curious to go back and watch Pseudo Regalia as well. That one's on my list to see how much it differs from 100% with 100%, because it's still only a half an hour long apparently, and any 100% category that's super short like that is always intriguing to me.
That's so wild. The other run that this was one, honestly, I just am fascinated by the game because every time I look at it, I feel like I'm having an acid trip. So Hylix 2.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Luigi, do you know this game?
No, I do not.
Okay, so here's the great thing. When we do our like preps for the chomp of the day, so basically the chomp is like when the interviewers go through what the schedule is for the day and talk about some of the really cool things coming up. For Patel's events, and I wanted to talk about Hylix. It's basically a game that when you look at it, one minute you have pretty music, and the next minute it's going wah, 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 and sounds like you've been transported to an alien planet. It's done in a mix.
Can't they both be pretty music?
Well, some of the music can be really great, yeah. And then
I like alien wah wahs though.
Oh, the wah 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 wah.
Yeah, you know, that's a great song.
It's you know wah wah wah, the absolute classic of Hylix. It's done with a mix of like 2D claymation, or I'm sorry, 2D pixel art, photographs of claymation, and like a few other mediums mixed together. And if you go and look at the manual for the game and for the run, it's as absurd and weird as like playing the game itself. So there was one part that I read of the manual that I'm not going to quote it exactly here, but I'll do my best. Go to the beach, go past the canoe, gather the meat. You are in jail now. And the gather the meat or whatever it was, gather the meat from over the fire, wasn't all caps. And then just you were in jail now, period. The
best way I can describe this game is if you let Monty Python's Flying Circus from that specific, like, you know, time era make a video game. But also it had the character designer of Katamari Damacy and also had RPG mechanics. And it was a Final Fantasy game, basically.
Aren't you just calling this, aren't you just describing Rock of Ages?
I don't know the game, so maybe. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Also, now that I think about it, the animation style is kind of like those in-between segment Monty Python things. I've never thought of that.
It's very much like Monty Python, right, where it's like, you know, kind of hand-drawn, but also kind of figurines and kind of stuff.
What game is this?
Hylix 2.
Yeah. Because, Rock of Ages, there were like three of those, and they had very much that vibe.
Interesting. Okay,
just,
now I have to look up
giant Monty Python boulders crushing things.
Yeah, now I'm looking at Rock of Ages, but of course it's just going to pull up the Def Leppard song.
Well, that's why you put in Rock of Ages video game. Yep. Okay.
Oh, this game. Yeah.
Looking at the cover art, similar vibes. Immediately similar vibes, yeah.
But like, imagine this, but worse. Like, okay, in a way, like kind of worse looking. And I don't mean that like worse as in the game is worse or the graphics are like worse. It's just like an era of lower budget or an aura of lower budget is kind of like what I mean by that.
It's one of those things that it is a weirder quality, but it's very intentional. Like everything about the game, even though it's fucking weird, it's meant to be surrealist.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I meant by that.
So role-playing game, if y'all aren't familiar, it's basically a role-playing game from 2020.
Oh, wow.
And the first game came out in 2014, 2015, somewhere around there.
Something like that. I don't remember. They both look quite similar.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
The introduction I had to this game was hanging out with friends and then watching a different friend stream it and all of us being very inebriated watching the friend stream it and having no idea what in the world we were looking at.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some other standouts from the schedule I'm excited to look at are the Metroid Dread run, all bosses, no major glitches, rookie mode from Jayeen. And
that has just become like also one of my favorite Metroids to watch.
It's so good. It's just a great, like, satisfying game to watch.
It's somehow nicer knowing that the runner isn't in hell too. Yeah, just like,
yeah,
it's just not the like worst Super Metroid thing. It's like
you're
ever
in
done
pain playing yeah that game, even though it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. You're still like in pain. And then there's Castlevania Symphony of the Night, but on the Saturn, on the Sega Saturn, Alucard Saturn any percent. So I want to check those out as well. Definitely wish I had gotten a chance to check more of these out throughout the week. Mm. Sadly, a busy time.
That's one of the unfortunate things about being an adult who works is you can't watch all the things you want to watch. But
there's a full 107% run of Hollow Knight as well.
Yep.
107% all bosses, no major glitches.
Two horror blocks. We had two horror blocks for this Fatales. Mm-hmm. So one day we had, you could technically, I guess you could count Hylix, but really we had, like, from Guilt one day, so from 5 o'clock all the way down to Made of Skur. So we had a ton of horror games all in there. So, like, Silent Hill 2, Resident Evil 4, and then we had another day with another four or five horror runs back to back. So this one was stacked. And it was great, too, because a lot of them were commentating for each other. So you would see, like, Allison doing a run of Trepang, and then she would be on the couch for one of the next runs that had come up. So you can tell the horror community in particular is really tight knit. So that was
I've always gotten that vibe. Always gotten that feeling.
Classic Luigi's Mansion horror game. Just 100%. Yeah, I'm telling you, that PAL version is weird. things are like just in different places.
The ghosts become actually like incredibly scary instead of cartoon. Well,
yeah, like it's harrowing. She said that like a ghost that doesn't show up till the third area is like in the first room. And they got 100% too. So yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I guess I have one really big question, since it sounds like a lot of us got recommendations of games we hadn't heard of from this list, too. Are there any of the games that you've seen that you're now going to go back and play? Because I know for me, like, I love having, when I'm not working, a cozy game to put on. And Shmooshy Come Home and Mail Time both look so cute. They're just little cozy mushroom games. Give me a cozy mushroom game.
Aw. Well, guys.
I think for me, I'm on kind of a mission to try to not buy any new games this year. Try being a very... being in very heavy quotation marks because, you know, Hades 2 goes into early access this year. So, but if I were to buy one, it would probably be Dicey Dungeons. That game just looked very fun, pretty neat. And like, you don't need to stress about timing and everything. So like you, Ruby, like that'd be for me just a nice kind of change of pace from what I normally play.
And I will say I've been playing it regularly on my Switch for the exact same reasons. And can confirm Dicey Dungeons is a great take it with you game.
Awesome. How about you, Luigi?
I would love to play Luigi's Mansion 1 again.
I was going to say, but you've played it before.
New game, Luigi.
Yes. New to you game.
Oh, new to me? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I really do want to play Dicey Dungeons. That is true. I keep hearing about how great it is. But I'm stuck playing Ogre Battle. I'm stuck playing Unicorn Overlord, so nothing will break through that.
I have cast, like, remake.
Yeah.
Or spiritual successor.
It's really good. It's really good.
Well, Ruby, since you did the production, and I want to know, what was your favorite new thing y'all tried this event?
I really like the chomps, honestly. So the chomp or the like daily preview was kind of something that we had tested last event and people seemed to really like it. So basically for mainline, we have at the end of the day, the like Red Bull daily recaps where we talk about the really exciting things that happen. But for Tells, we do something a little bit flipped. So for the first part of the day, we have a segment where like, we started off with whatever the murder mystery segment was for that day, then would basically say, all right, very quickly shout out like the run you were excited about so we could shout out something from yesterday. And then we would go through and say, all right, here's the schedule for today. Here's what to expect. We would break it down. And then for some of the ones that we wanted to highlight specifically, so like games people may not know a ton about or games that like the people on the couch knew a lot about, then we'll show clips. And then at the very end, we show a prize. And the way that the audience was engaging with those and like seeing people getting really excited about the things they did or didn't know about. And also just, I love having an opportunity to talk about how cool someone's gonna be and hyping people up. So the chomp was probably my favorite thing because every day you just got to hype the people up who were gonna be doing runs later that day and talk about how great they were gonna be.
Yeah,
it felt like a really cool way to like put the spotlight on them. So yeah, nice. I really enjoyed the chomp.
Awesome. Because of being busy in a lot of the like that midday region when you all generally start, I missed every single one of them. So I'll have to go back and check some of them out.
No, absolutely. And I will say, if people are looking for a very fun and cheesy speedrun murder mystery, feel free to go back to the beginning of those days if you want to see just all of us wearing ridiculous outfits. It was a lot of fun to shoot, but honestly, more than anything, just go back and check out the runs themselves because everyone kicked ass this event. Like, there was so much work happening in the studio, and I feel like Hobbs, you know this, you know, as well as or better than any of us. The pre-shows, like, or working on site for an event, it can be really exhausting, but it is so, so rewarding and so great. Yeah. So this was definitely one of those of people were working their butts off, but like it all was worth it.
Yeah. It does help when you don't break your toe though.
that part not so fun.
Yeah. A little bit. Just tad.
Well, the good thing is for speed running, I don't actually have to run.
That's true. That's good.
Yeah, I can sit here with my feet up and continue to do crowd control in Hades way too much.
Just no switch speed runs on the treadmill. That's
yeah, that might be over a line, or like I'm not going to try and run super hot VR on my freaking MetaQuest right now.
No, right now.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, where are you sitting these days? Where can people find you sitting these days?
That is a great question. I will be sitting in my chair and with my foot propped up on this ottoman at twitch.tv/RubyHeart. I am a actor, streamer, speedrunner, interviewer. Right now, I am doing a ridiculous amount of prep work for the things I want to submit to SGDQ. So I am working on the Transistor Love Percent run. If you're wondering what Love Percent is, you'll find out at SGDQ if it gets in. Transistor, then Hades Crowd Control, and specifically Fresh File Crowd Control to see if I can start with a new file and by the end beat Dad once and beat the audience. Then Overcooked 2, Any Percent, and Titan Souls. That's right. I was like, I swear I have another.
That's right.
And I'm doing a Titan Souls race with Zick. So you'll see me doing a lot of practice there. I also may or may not be trying to talk to and convince certain friends to do Archipelago speedrun at SGDQ. Wink, wink. We'll talk about it later.
All right.
But
we'll keep it on the down low.
that's where I am. And that's what I'm doing nowadays. Where can we find you, Hobbs?
Yeah, I'm at twitch.tv/jhobbs296, or you can just Google jhobbs, J-H-O-B-Z. I'm also running productions for, I'm technically working in esports now, which is kind of a weird full circle for me. I'm also running broadcasts for the Wizards District Gaming NBA 2K League team. So if you feel like checking that out, I'm not on camera, but I'm the one behind the screen, like pressing all the buttons, twitch.tv/WizardsDG.
Is that where NBA players play NBA players in a video game? No. Oh, okay. No.
It's where regular old gamers play regular old gamers, but they look like NBA players in the video game.
Okay.
But yeah, that's been like challenging in its own right. And because it's been like me and one other person kind of being like a two-man band for the whole thing. And when the production's actually going, it's me running everything. So it's been challenging. So I might not be streaming quite as often because of that, but otherwise check that out. And I'm going to keep doing more Archipelago and stuff. Keys and I are still playing through Baldur's Gate 3, so it's fun.
Hell yeah.
How about you, Luigi?
Patreon.com/possiblybad. And I mean, you can find me playing lots and lots of Unicorn Overlord on my couch.
on your couch. And occasionally playing
and Archipelago Overcooked with Ruby, right?
Oh, I would. Yes. Right. That is a thing. Let's talk about that. I will do that. I want to. Yes. So you could find that at twitch.tv/RubyHeart. And we love you. What do we always say?
Don't do drugs.
And don't break your toe on the way to the bathroom when you're trying to speed run. It's not fun. Don't do it.
But if you do, then you're allowed to do drugs?
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Wait,
you're allowed to do drugs if you break your toe.
I gotta get out of here. Bye.
Yeah, Ruby, go do drugs.